operates typically under two authorities, and in a court project, there could be a third authority that we operate under. So the primary that we work with is Section 404 of the Clean Water Act, and so with that, we would be regulating discharges of fill below the high tide line or within other waters and wetlands. And then we also operate under Section 10 of the Rivers and Harbors Act of 1899, and with that one, we would be regulating work structures and dredging below the mean high water mark. Now, depending on what type of dredging would be proposed associated with a port, we may also be working with Section 103 of MPRISA, which is the Marine Sanctuaries Protection Act, if I'm remembering the acronym right. And that one would be regulating the transport of dredge materials for offshore disposal. So those are the three main authorities and things that we would be looking at is the discharges of fill, the work structures and dredging, and then potentially the ocean transport of dredge material for disposal.
Thank you.
I will also just say that at least for Army Corps and regulatory Army Corps, oh, actually, I need to add another one. Oh, criminy. So I work in regulatory. We also have other sections of Army Corps, our navigation section, our operations section. We do a lot within Army Corps. For this particular project, I am at least aware that there is a federal navigation channel nearby.
Mm-hmm.
At least flagged to the applicant that what would be called a Section 408 permission and review would be required. So for all projects, we have dams, we have federal navigation projects, we have beach nourishment, we have groins and jetties, we have a whole bunch of stuff that Army Corps has built, operates, and maintains. If any project is looking to potentially affect an Army Corps resource, they need to get a 408 permission from appropriate sections of Army Corps where we determine that these projects aren't going to have an effect to the operations and maintenance. So that's something that's on our radar, but we haven't gotten far enough into knowing the project to know if a 408 permission is required, but it is something that we're looking at. So as part of all of this, when we're doing permit reviews, we have quite a few different consultations that we do. So I'll kick it over to Caitlin, who I work with all the time on all kinds of projects, to talk about the National Marine Fisheries EFH consultation stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Christine. So as I mentioned, I'm with NOAA Fisheries. My colleague, Peter Johnson, is also with NOAA Fisheries and is not at the meeting today. He'll be responsible for the ESA Section 7 consultation. So just keep in mind that the essential fish habitat consultation and the ESA Section 7 consultation will be separate point of contacts. So I'll be reviewing the project under the Fish and Wildlife Coordination Act, which predates the Magnuson-Stevens Fishery Conservation and Management Act. And I will be receiving the essential fish habitat consultation from the designated federal action agency. The Fish and Wildlife Coordination Act predates the Magnuson-Stevens Act, as I said, and it directs the services to investigate and report on proposed federal actions that affect any stream or body of water to provide recommendations to minimize impacts on fish and wildlife resources. The Magnuson-Stevens Act requires federal agencies to consult with us on their activities, including permits and licenses, that may adversely affect essential fish habitat. As part of this process, we provide advice and conservation recommendations to the Federal Action Agency to avoid, minimize, and mitigate for the adverse effects to essential fish habitat and managed species.
Mm-hmm.
The EFH consultation begins when the Federal Action Agency provides us with an EFH assessment. We evaluate hundreds of EFH assessments each year for a wide variety of projects. The federal action agencies are required to respond to our essential fish habitat conservation recommendations that we propose to avoid, minimize, and mitigate for those adverse effects. To date, I've provided early coordination technical assistance to project proponents on the resource delineation needs and specific concerns that may arise during the consultation. This early coordination technical assistance is routine for larger projects, and it applies to all site alternatives. More information about our consultation procedures can be found on our website. Early communications indicated interest in comments from the New England Fisheries Science Center to my knowledge, the Science Center does not currently provide conservation recommendations on essential fish habitat consultations. I might be mistaken on how they did this in the past, or Chris might be able to add a little bit of background on that. But to my knowledge, the conservation recommendations come from our office, and will come from me once this consultation begins. To date, we haven't received a consultation request from the designated federal action agency, and therefore we don't have the appropriate information to make any determination at this time regarding site selection or which project, because we don't have the information that we would need to make those suggestions. And several items have changed at the site since the site was past investigated. Primarily, a number of new species were designated, including juvenile Atlantic cod habitat areas of particular concern, and other advances in the science related to habitat utilization of underpier structures has also been developed. As such, we have currently expressed concerns about potential degradation of habitat beneath dense aggregate wharves, but to date, our early coordination technical assistance is very broad and general and relates to the information needs that we'll need for a consultation. Mm-hmm. So I'll just mention, Chris, if you have anything before passing it over to Patrick, anything that I missed or want to add?
No, Caitlin, that was great. Great summary on everything. Just to your point about the Science Center, Science Center does not have any role in the essential fish habitat consultation process. They may have in the past provided early coordination and maybe some informal technical assistance, but nothing formal in this role, and they will not have the role moving forward. So, thanks, Caitlin. Great job.
Okay, so like NIFS, we also have authority under the ESA, Endangered Species Act, and we haven't gotten a project, so we haven't started consultation. One little bit of information that we have gotten is they proposed a study plan for doing bat surveys out on the island. I don't know if those have started yet, but I did review their study plan and approve it. It follows the guidelines, the Fish and Wildlife Service guidelines and protocols for bat surveys. I will be reviewing the report once the surveys are done. Other than that, there isn't a lead agency selected, so consultation can't start until that. I consult with the lead agency with input from any other cooperating agencies. Once that starts, we'll be doing consultation. And NIFS and us, we sort of share jurisdiction on salmon, but this is saltwater, so they'll be doing the salmon consultation. The ones that I will be doing will be the listed bats and the shorebirds. NIFS has other species that I'll also be consulting on, but my consultation will be limited to the bats and the shorebirds at this point. Depending on how long the process takes, other species may be listed as we move forward, but as of now, that's what we have. I think that's it for the federal agencies, isn't it?
If I could just ask a question there, our fish and wildlife, U.S. Fish and Wildlife person used bath surveys. You're talking about bathymetric surveys of the bay floor, sea floor. Was I simply having a hearing problem?
My pronunciation was probably not clear enough. Bat, B-A-T-S, as in the flying bats. And they will be doing acoustic surveys out on the island. At some point, the consultants that DOT has hired will go out there and put up acoustic monitors. They'll be left up for a few days to a week or two, and then they'll pull those acoustic monitors down, get the data off of them, and then have experts review the data and determine whether or not they have detected right now listed in Maine or Northern Longyear bats. Mm-hmm. We will probably be proposing or making a determination on whether we list tricolored bats shortly. That determination hasn't been made yet, but will likely be made sometime this summer.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what then. There are a lot of questions many people have, but I really would like request Kyle and Bennett to lead the set of questions that we think they need to move forward with that. Can you do that, Kyla?
Sure. And thanks so much for that summary. I really appreciate it. I just have a couple of quick questions. Patrick, what about the rusty patch bumblebee? My understanding was that there was some habitat on Sears Island there. Is that going to be assessed as well?
Rusty patch bumblebee in Maine, the only area we ask agencies to consult is a small patch up by Stockton Springs, further inland. Rusty patch bumblebee hasn't been found in Maine since 2009 or so. So it's, although there may be suitable habitat on the island, we haven't designated critical habitat for rusty patch bumblebee, and as far as we know, they don't occur anywhere near the project except for Stockton Springs, and we haven't found them there since 2009.
Okay, thank you. And Christine, I have a question for you. I'm not sure if you saw, I was not aware that you were going to be the project manager for this. So when Pierre sent our letter regarding the causeway, I'm not sure how many of you from the federal agencies, how it, if it wended its way down to you, but it's highly likely that the Maine DOT never installed the 2-foot culvert in the causeway, which they were required to do under the permit that was issued in 1988. And because I guess that would be a permit violation and not an unpermitted discharge, that would fall in the realm of the Corps' enforcement. I'm wondering if you know the status of that. I know that Maine DOT sent some people out to look for the culvert, but I'm not sure that they found it because I don't think it exists.
Yeah, so I think, was that the letter that was addressed to our commander, Colonel Pavis?
Correct, yes.
Yes, okay, so yes, it did make its way to me. He kicked it over to me at some point. So I have the letter in my hands. We found the hard copy administrative record yesterday, so I've been looking through everything. I have a file box full of paperwork, so I've been going through that historical record, but I've only had about 24 hours where I've had it in hand, so I'm looking at the previous permits because of the winding history, I guess I'll call it, of this site and other proposed projects and all the actions that have happened here. It's going to take me a while to look at the entire thing. So I'm looking at it. I'm trying to find the order of operations, what went on, and where the permits were and what happened. So we're looking into it right now. We have received the letter and are aware.
Okay, thank you so much. If you need us to go up to Augusta where there's a repository of documents, there may be something up there that you don't have. That's the one thing that we were wondering is whether there was some permit amendment that none of us were aware of that allowed them to delete the culvert. But I would find that strange because in court they represented, in all the court cases, Maine DOT represented that culvert made the causeway a bridge, and therefore they got a bridge permit, not a solid fill causeway permit. So I really don't want to lose sight of this particular fact. I know it sounds ancient, but as Phil knows, that solid fill causeway has really disrupted the tidal flow patterns there and has resulted in a lot of environmental damage. I don't know how much that 2-foot culvert would have helped, but certainly it would have helped a little bit. And if it was part of the permit and it was never built, I think it needs to be addressed whether the Sears Island alternative is chosen or not. So thank you for that. One of my questions was who's the lead agency? I guess the answer is we don't know. I assume it's going to be the Corps as it was in previous years. No, you don't think it's going to be the Corps?
No. So I would strongly advise against that assumption.
Okay.
There's quite a bit of nuance when it comes to determining who is the lead federal agency, but at least in my coordination with Maine DOT so far, they've indicated a couple of different other federal agencies that may be providing funding, and if any other federal agency is providing funding for this project, that is automatically Army Corps will not be the lead federal agency. It seems to me, at least from what I'm seeing and hearing, that it's highly unlikely that there isn't going to be another federal agency funding, so I would be very surprised if we are the lead federal.
Okay. So Federal Highway, maybe? I mean, or BOEM?
Definitely not BOEM. Go ahead, Tim.
I mean, it could be DOT. It could be MARAD. But really not sure, and I didn't get very far in the conversations that I had, you know, and that seems like a really important first point when we're talking about process, right, to have an organizing factor. Christina, it's interesting for me to hear, I hadn't heard that the Corps would not be a lead federal agency if there's federal funding from another source. I still think that there will have to be a real discussion that's going to happen, but Kyla, we don't have any good intel on that at all. It would be helpful for all of us if we did, because then we'd be able to rally around, you know, it'd be more organized, I think. But there's no application. There isn't anything yet. That's the other weird thing. There's only news stories and a state's position. So there's nothing yet to coalesce it.
We've been pretty with our office of counsel, not on this project particularly, but on large projects, multiple federal agencies in general, and our office of counsel has a stance and regulation to refer back to, and that funding trigger is the primary trigger to determine NEPA lead.
Okay, thank you. I think David has a question.
I do know that that MDOT has applied for the multimodal project discretionary grant. They've also applied for an EPA grant for like $130 million, I believe, and also a port development grant. So I guess it could be any of those agencies in transportation or merit. So,
That's, I guess we'll find out who the lead federal agency is. That'll make life much easier. However, that being said, for Tim and Alex, I just wanted to point out something that we have noticed. Maine DOT seems to be predetermining or preselecting their alternative, contrary to NEPA, and I just wanted to flag that for you. I know that letters have been sent from local attorney up in Maine, Scott Sells, but they certainly have been doing everything in their power to make sure that Sears Island is the LEDPA, and I keep reminding them that they are not the decider of what the LEDPA is. And the one difference that I want to flag between what happened in the 90s and now is that Sprague Energy is all in for having this port at Mack Point. They are already shipping out wind turbines. They already have the rail and the highway access. They have the space. They just issued a website yesterday, press releases. They want this so badly. And when we look at, and also the other thing that's changed between the 90s and now is that NEPA, of course, and other laws require some consideration of climate change impacts. I'm not talking about, the benefits of an offshore floating wind facility, because no matter where this port is built, those benefits will be the same. What I'm talking about is the use of raw materials, the destruction of intact ecosystems. If you look at the IPCC report from 2023, figure 7, it says very clearly that leaving intact ecosystems intact will do more to combat climate change than all the wind projects that we have proposed. So to me, I really want to make sure that all of the federal resource agencies take a very hard look at the impacts associated with site selection and the difference between Sears Island, which has reverted to a very intact ecosystem, versus Mack Point, which is a brownfield. We will be hiring a consultant to do that analysis for us, because I know full well that Maine DOT will not. The other thing I wanted to flag for you is that...
Really quickly, one thing I did notice in the Sprague package, looking at it really quickly last night, was they seemed to call into question the way that Maine DOT even took a look at their site. So they're like fundamentally even questioning, like you said, they're all in. It felt like that. That's why I said, is this even a real website? I had to kind of is someone playing a really big joke? Because it felt very much like the kind of dialogue we would want to see about alternatives. And we have said that, the other agencies have said that too, when we've had the informal discussions with Maine DOT, that how important a robust alternatives analysis is here, under NEPA, under 404, under the various statutes. So that's not lost on us. This kind of Sprague announcement obviously makes it much easier, as you can imagine, to even argue for those things, because you have often, if we just think in the 404 context, we have the question of a site even being available. Well, you have Sprague going, hey, we're here, and we actually think it can work. And now, we don't know any details. We don't know any details about all the impacts. We don't know what their graphics are showing. It could be colossal amount of fill to get to the 100 acres. Don't know any of those details yet. But it, on its face, it's very good news for an alternatives analysis process, having more than just what's being proposed. So that's all I can tell you. I mean, we see that.
Right. And the last thing, I know there's another hand up, but I just want to get in my last point here, which is I just want to flag for you that VHB, for some reason, was unable to find the vernal pools on Sears Island. We sent two people out and found three vernal pools, which were created under the consent decree that I negotiated, because they had filled vernal pools back in the 80s. Those vernal pools are working magnificently. In fact, they are all significant vernal pools under the definition of the state. We have pictures, we have videos, literally hundreds of egg masses in all three pools. VHB said there were no vernal pools on Sears Island. So whatever analysis VHB is doing, comparing Mack Point to Sears Island, Phil, I don't know if you remember the Lisa Stanley video where she stood on Mack Point and said, the lovely forested wetlands of Mack Point are so valuable. And then she stood in Sears Island and said, the swamps of Sears Island are degraded and awful. They are doing the same thing all over again. The fact that they were unable to find these vernal pools in the middle of the breeding season is indicative of their analysis. And I just want to flag for you that there are vernal pools out there. We're trying to get them designated as significant by the state of Maine, but they are not doing it because we didn't have permission to go on the land, which there is broad permission under the consent decree and the easement to allow, until a port is built, to allow people to walk that property, but the state is not allowing us to certify them. But just wanted to flag that for you. Please take what VHB does with a grain of salt, because they are up to their old tricks.
Mm. May I break in here a minute, since you talked about Sprague Point's Mack Point so much, that there is an open house. Do you people know about that, people on the panel? June 11th. I really urge some of you to either go yourselves or to get representatives from your organizations to go. Tuesday, June 11th, there are two options, one 8:45 in the morning and the other at 1:45 in the afternoon. I don't know, we could send you more information, but you can get that information, I'm sure, just by looking into it. But we have that information if you want it. And a lot of us will be there. It's important.
All right.
I also have
your hand up.
I'm sorry. What was your question?
I just was recognizing Chris having hand up.
Thank you. Kyla, were you done? Did you?
I just wanted to offer to Tim and others that I have a copy of the 1995 letter that all of you agencies wrote, if you want to see it, because in that letter, you basically said, and I said, that the development of Sears Island would cause or contribute to significant degradation of waters of the United States under 404, under 230.10c, if anything, given the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service status and trends report on wetlands, since then, things have gotten even more dire on the wetlands front. And I would just want to say that it would be hard to imagine how this project would not also today cause or contribute to significant degradation of the waters of the U.S. And I'm done.
Hi, thank you all so much for being here today and Ron pulling this together. So I had a few comments. One was Chris, a question for you, Christine. There is a group that's been promoting the development of Sears Island publicly here, and they are saying that the Army Corps would turn down the use of Mack Point because of dredging. And we have felt that that is based on nothing. There is nothing so far that's indicated to us that that would be the case. And I just wanted to hear from you your thoughts on that.
Army Corps certainly hasn't made any statements that we wouldn't support Mack Point because of the dredging.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you for that. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is how the federal grant that was submitted by the state of Maine, the two grants that David talked about, one of them specifically is for construction on Sears Island. And I'm wondering if you agencies, if any of you folks have any say in the granting of those federal dollars.
Mm-hmm.
No. So they might receive grant money, and then it would go to you afterwards. Is that how I'm understanding? Okay. And then the last point I wanted to make is anybody looking at the benefits to the entire bay of preserving Sears Island in terms of, like, the cooling of the waters, about having that entire island intact? Because, like I heard, you know, these isolated pieces, and I'm just wondering if there's a, you know, a micro-regional effect that's investigated.
That would be part of analysis during permit review for Army Corps, so I can't say what would be included at this point.
Okay. Well, I know Becky is on here, and maybe she could speak better to it, but I know that there's a significant effect of, because it's at the head of the estuary where the Penobscot River enters in, it has a unique position in that way that Mack Point doesn't serve. So we wanted to flag that for you folks.
If you're done, the grant process, typically, I can't speak to the particular grants that DOT is applying for, but when it's Fish and Wildlife Service that has the grant money, they would not ask folks in the same area to review those grants. Typically, those grants will be reviewed by someone in another region. They don't want that sort of overlap of responsibilities normally. These grants, though, I don't know about. I'm not reviewing them anyways.
Thanks.
It's my understanding that at least for our consultation that if an agency is funding the project, then they need to consult with us on the project that they're funding.
If I could just jump in on the grants question, I know I don't want to cut David and Becky, but I was at a Gulf of Maine meeting that BOEM hosted last Friday, and the port was discussed publicly there, and Maine said that they were looking to develop the fort at Sears Island. And it appeared to me that the state of Massachusetts is actually working in conjunction with the state of Maine in the theory that we're going to need more than one port to support the development of floating offshore wind in the Gulf of Maine. So that was just something that I observed, and they seem to make the comments. So just for context for everybody, because I don't know if you were all at the meeting, and I think BOEM probably will make, I believe they were recording the whole thing, so if you wanted to play that back, that meeting that took place. Anyways, it was just interesting. It was something I wasn't aware of, but it appears that the states, want to support each other, and Maine at that point was just speaking of, you know, their proposal for Sears Island. So, anyway, sorry. It looks like...
Oh, that was mentioned is, if that's the joint one where the state of Massachusetts and Maine have jointly applied, the Massachusetts project is Salem Harbor. They're looking to dredge, improve the dredge.
Yeah, but it sounded like they had another thing that they were trying to support in Maine. So I'm not sure.
It was a joint series in Salem.
Okay, it was both of them. Okay, looks like David's next. Sorry.
They do have a compact
and they're looking at together because of the way the electricity would have to come ashore and where it would come ashore and all that stuff. So they have a number of agreements that they're working on. My question relates to the 1995 studies that Tyler referred to earlier. And will those agencies keep them front of mind? Because the findings were dramatic. You found that there would be adverse effects on human health and welfare, life stages of aquatic life and other wildlife, aquatic ecosystem diversity, productivity and stability, and aesthetic values. And you also found that because of the unique, the unusual juxtaposition of the habitats that result in the high biodiversity of Sears Island, mitigation would be virtually impossible. So my question is, as you examine, once you get the application and you're examining the conditions on Sears Island, will you keep it top of mind with the previous findings and feel compelled to compare them if you find otherwise, and defend why you might find otherwise? And if in fact the findings are the same and you urge the permits not to be issued as you did in 1995, will the Army Corps undertake to actually respect that recommendation rather than ignore it as he did 30 years ago? Thanks.
So part of the reason why I wanted the full admin record from previous actions was so that I can delve into some of those materials and use them as part of consideration once we receive a project application. But as to analysis, determinations, and final permit decision, I can't speak to that because we don't have the full context yet of an application.
Thank you.
Okay. Great.
I have one other question, a hypothetical perhaps, if I may. If for example, Mack Point was chosen as a preferred location, is it conceivable that that might be accomplished with just an EA rather than EIS, given everything that's known about it?
We don't know the answer. All we know is that in the preliminary discussions with Maine DOT, they have said there would be an EIS for the project. So that would have to depend on. So let's say they pivoted. Let's say they pivoted and say, oh, we want to do it at Mack Point. Then you'd have to look at the facts of that particular proposal and whether or not there's potential for significant impacts. And so, yeah, again, we can't prejudge that, and that would be, yeah, I mean, it's hard to crystal ball. I think that is a discussion that would happen if you were talking about Mack Point being in the number one spot, not a discussion you'd be having if you're talking about Sears Island being in the number one spot. So that's all I can tell you. I hadn't even done any thinking about that until you said that, because it just feels like the kind of project that typically would have at least EPA recommending an environmental impact statement for it, because it's, you know, it's a big industrial facility that's going to trigger a number of different authorizations, and we'll have, you know, it's going to be a big facility, and there's going to be, you know, we're not even talking about the fact that you will have concrete batching to create all these foundations for the floating, you know, there's other things that the port will generate, to Kyla's point, that are, I think, part of the mix, at least in the NEPA world. So, thank you.
Could I ask a question? This is Nancy Galland. Are you any of you received the Moffitt and Nichols study that was done, I think, about a year ago, that does discuss the dredging issue? And what we have heard is that the numbers are very different than the ones that the DOT is putting out. Are any of these agencies using that? We can't get it. It's not been released. Governor Mills has not released it.
Can I jump in and clarify that just a little bit? Yeah. So there was a feasibility study by the Moffitt and Nichols engineers in 2021, but there has been a subsequent studies, which resulted in dredging numbers. And there has been subsequent studies, one done by Moffitt and Nichols again, and another study completed by Sprague Energy through Appledore, I believe, with updated dredging numbers. And that was something we wanted to ask if you folks had seen, but also to let you know that the state of Maine hasn't released those updated numbers, which is a concern, you know, for us, obviously. Thanks.
Well, hey, can I get a few words?
Could I just go?
Sure, go ahead,
I don't want to lose it. Sorry. First of all, thank you very much, everybody, for being on this call and for such clear answers, even though it's pretty muddy. The process is pretty muddy right now. I just wanted to say, I live in Penobscot Bay on North Haven, and I was part of the Sears Island Planning Initiative, you know, back in 2005. Through 2009. My family are, my children are fishermen. And so I, you know, come to this thinking about the entirety of the bay, how the waters, the gyres in the bay and how the waters travel around the bay, and also about the benefit of the ocean, of Sears Island to cooling, clean waters entering the bay with the nutrients and all of that that provide for the bottom of the food chain. And, you know, and as David mentioned, there isn't another thing. Mitigation is a four-letter word in my lexicon. So I just wanted to point out that I'm concerned that DOT, Maine DOT and Maine DEP have recently been really narrowing the scope of their environmental analysis on many projects. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to look at the, you know, holistically as the impact of something as large as this, the largest undeveloped island on the coast of Maine, you know, how it really will impact the largest embayment in Maine. And this embayment really has, you know, impact going all the way out to the Gulf of Maine and beyond. So I hope that as part of this process, you can look at it, you know, in a bigger picture way.
Good.
Looks like Ron is next.
Sure. Okay. A couple of questions for folks. Pat Dawkins, Wendy Mahaney worked on this Sears Island projects many times over the years, said, yet she's said to sit this one out. Do you have A, access to her records on this project, and can you make them available without us to come and inspect them? Because obviously they'd be so large it'd be ridiculous to FOIA something and be sent in pounds of paper, you know. So there's that question.
Yeah, Wendy works in the office with me, and we have chatted about the history of this project. I'm sure there's a large box full of files on it, and I will be going through them at some point.
Okay.
If there's questions about the history and how it pertains to any future consultation, hopefully I can get that information out of there. If not, well, I can't guarantee that everything that existed back then still exists now.
Okay.
The office has moved in the meantime, and sometimes things get lost, but we certainly will look through any hard copies and records that we have in the office finalize consultation.
And I and many others have a great deal of the backstory that we saved all those things too, and could certainly send them to you. Christine, the core, I can send you links to the different law cases that took issue with the causeway, took issue with the whole development project, in which the Corps was very much involved and so on. And you'll see the court being incensed over the perfidy of the Coast Guard saying, yeah, we'll call it a bridge, knowing that it's not a bridge, knowing that at best it'd be a 2-foot pipe, which is not a bridge, and yet avoiding the congressional reviews that would have occurred there. So there's a lot of bad backstory in that, and the challenge with that one, too, is that... Maybe Alexander has some thoughts on this too. Is the current flow there, the energies of that, not the wind of the water, the bay and the river hitting each other there, used to the ecology of that area there relied on this, on the overflow around the island, and that allowed the Stockton Harbor to be this immense nursery for. That's why they call it Great Shellfish Bay. the native people who farmed it for so many years, I would say. And so is there any understanding of looking into the hydrology that's been damaged as a result of the causeway, which, as the court will say, was not lawfully done at all, when, as I believe other folks have said, there are many people with a lot of details of how it wrecked them as boaters or fishermen on either side of that causeway. So are you all willing to look into that? Well, okay. Well, if there's crickets are there, I'll send you some information. And finally, then the that causeway, by the way, also has sort of given the estuary a stroke. It's allowed a lot of waste from this abandoned acid factory and fertilizer factory from the 40s to the 90s was really active, and these things have been eroding because of the corroding shore, especially now that the storms have ripped open more of what was filled shoreline, and so. Water quality problems that are in that harbor are very important because, well, they're separated from Searsport Harbor, Long Cove now, by the causeway. The water going in and out of that is used as a sort of a resting area between migrating down or migrating up where you're doing their anadromous transitions, or catadromous ones. So we're really concerned that the agencies look at the accumulation of waste that are there in the sediments and in the water quality, water very top of the sediments too, in that area while they're determining issues that need to be looked at in this. This is my last thing I want to raise. Okay.
Beverly, I see you've been trying to get on and you're muted. So we can't hear you, and if you, I know some other people have their hands up, and they've been trying to ask questions too.
Oh my goodness! So am I,
Beverly? The upper right hand corner of your screen, you're going to see a thing that says "Mic MIC," and you just click that, and your microphone will unmute. Right next to the red leave button.
Well, all right. Right now it says I'm on, but not.
Oh, no, okay. I'm talking to you, Ron. I'm talking to Beverly. I'm going to go see if I can unmute Beverly from where I am.
Okay.
Sometimes that works.
Hello. Hello.
You might be able to put your comment in the chat. If you can see the chat, you can type a comment in there.
Well, I could do that, but I'm not quite a fast a chatter there.
Ron, I think we're good with you. We can hear you fine.
Oh, great. Okay. So
it's Beverly we're trying to get.
Okay. So
Mike.
So can I understand correctly that people did hear what I was saying?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay. For a moment I thought, "Whoa." Okay. Well then
Beverly's trying to get on, I do have a quick question about earlier you talked about shorebirds being studied. Mm-hmm. What about the other 240 species that migrate through Sears Island every year? Will they be considered?
Not under the Endangered Species Act unless they're listed under the Endangered Species Act. Some birds are protected under, many birds are protected under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. And the DOT is responsible to look at their responsibility, or the lead federal agency is responsible for looking at the impacts under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act.
Well, that's mostly hunting and things like that. I mean, that wouldn't necessarily
Bird Treaty Act actually protects all nesting birds. Not, I shouldn't say all. There's several birds that aren't protected, and a lot of those birds are actually the birds that are hunted. Or birds that are non-native or introduced into the U.S. All other birds are protected, and that protection pertains to their nesting. So you can't knowingly or willingly take down active nests. Active nests are nests that have contents, eggs, or nestlings.
Right, but it's the shorebirds apparently have the fewest strikes with things like turbines and cranes and things like that. But I fear it's the migratory birds that will pay the biggest price. 15-story tall pole lamps lighting 80-story cranes, 120-story turbines. That's going to be right in the path of all thousands and thousands of migrating birds twice a year. And there's no, they have no voice, they have no protection, they have no consideration?
Typically under EIS reviews and within Army Corps individual permit reviews, at least from what I've seen, I work regular offshore wind, which is partially why I was assigned to this project. There is consideration of fish and wildlife values, and migratory birds not covered by the Endangered Species Act would be considered under those analyses versus ESA consultation. So other fish and wildlife is considered that aren't ESA protected.
Right. Thank you. So just a quick time check. We got 5 minutes left.
Okay.
So it looks like
were you guys able to reach Beverly?
She's chatting.
Okay.
If you are on the phone, Beth, it's at the bottom of your screen, the microphone. While you're trying to figure that out, I'll mention the last couple of things that I had on here. So one of the things we just, again, wanted to flag, there's a couple of things while we had this meeting I wanted to make sure to bring up to all you folks. One is actually a point that Ron had brought up in our pre-meeting about the potential for chemical extrusions due to the fact that this is a manufacturing, assembly, and launching proposal. So the manufacturing component involves glue and stuff that we assume. So that's just something we wanted to make sure was on your radars. And then the other point was about this Volturne, like the model of wind turbine, and the space requirements of this turbine that the University of Maine and the state of Maine is promoting. And David actually can speak better to that, so I'd like to put that to you, David.
Well, I mean, I guess it's a size issue. I guess it's almost more of a commercial issue. There are competitors that are smaller, lighter, cheaper to produce, but I'm not sure how the agencies can impact those decisions.
My question is part of that in that case is just because they require more space. You know, there's some of these produced, like for example, Salem, Massachusetts. The site there has much less space because of the type of turbine that they are looking to do there, and for whatever reason, we're looking at a semi-submersible barge, and you know, a huge amount of space, and so I wanted that. Does seem like agency it's pertinent because of the impact, the level of impact, because of the size required. So I just wanted to, you know, ask if there's any comments on that, and just point that out. There's other ways of doing these that take up a lot less space and impact.
It could be done on a smaller footprint. Is that considered by the agencies?
Well, I guess they have to have a plan to look at. Can I interject? The one important thing is it would really be helpful to have a meeting in the flesh with on the island at some point with all or any of you at once and so on, and you can also do overflights for you with the Project Lighthawk is always pleased, very qualified pilots to fly people around so they see the hydrology, the aerodynamics of the whole thing. So can we do a sort of a next steps thing is what I'm saying, and after whatever Becky has to say and David and so on.
I'm done.
Bev has talked to me about what she'd like to say. So she is very concerned that there, or is there, any agency that takes a look at the benefits that are, you know, not economic particularly, but actually the solace that this island provides for the population of people and actually all of our relatives, all of the animals and beings, but particularly there are so many people in this day and age that are not able to get to places of the natural world who do benefit from being on Sears Island. Is there any agency that takes that kind of, you know, the climate crisis of psychological or psychic crisis that is also occurring? This island provides resources for that. And I think that's the question Bev was asking.
That would probably be an Army Corps. We do what we call a public interest review as part of our permit reviews, and with that, we consider a whole bunch of different factors: aesthetics, fish and wildlife values, which I had already mentioned. Economics. I think there's 32, if I remember the last count correctly. And one of those is just an other category where we can catch anything that those specific factors don't consider, or we also do just a general public interest. So for some of these aspects that are really important or concerning, when we eventually get a complete application, there will be an Army Corps public notice, and we strongly encourage commenting on that so that we know that those factors are present and we can consider them as part of our analysis whether or not we're a lead federal will still be doing that.
And I would offer that when and if there's a public NEPA process for the project during scoping, that can certainly be something that you raise to lead federal agency as an important issue for discussion in the EIS. Mm. And I think it would typically be something that would be covered as recreational use or other things that might occur on the island that, to the degree that they're affected by any project that might happen there. It would be something that they would typically discuss. So we're at 10:01. Ron, you wanted next steps. Your offer is a nice offer. I think, right now there's no reason that a federal agency would make any sort of visits. We don't even have a project. Okay. We have this breaking news about Mac Point. So we're going to have to take this step by step, and see what process plays out. And there may be a very appropriate time for a visit, to not only look at Sears Island, but hopefully to be looking at any alternative that's in the mix.
Good. So hopefully, just remember, if we could to some extent be CC'd in some of these conversations that are formal like that, so that we are not endlessly hoping to find out what happened last week or 2 months ago or something by FOIAs that can take forever. Is there a way for us to simply be closer or more in real time like that as a CC or a blind CC? I hope not, but in these interagency discussions. I'm not sure what your hesitation is, except if you don't rather say no, then say so, but. Looks like we're running out of time.
I don't think it's a question of saying no, Ron. I think it's a question of, first of all, there's nothing actively going on.
Right. And we understand, yeah.
We can express the interest that you have for them to be very public facing in the work, the work that they do and set up. At some point, there's going to be an actual public process with permits filed and an EPA process started. And I think that helps. Organize it. Okay. So,
well, that's good. As long as it's an open process,
you can subscribe to the Army Corps and find out when permits are applied for. So,
that's good.
I do that. So, and MDOT says it'll be in the fall is when the permits are. They're planning on filing the permits.
Ooh, okay.
All right. So, any
right now our anticipated timeline is application in the fall. Ron, I have your email, Ron. I can coordinate with our admin person and have you put on our public notice list.
Yeah,
if that's something that you'd be interested in for projects in Maine.
Yeah, that's very helpful if you do that. Thank you.
Anybody else while I'm taking names?
I already am on it, so I can let people know about it. I think Nancy Gallant has one question. I see her. She's up. I don't know if you still...
I just want to know what about the Moffitt and Nichols report, if you any of you have it, even. No. I mean, will you have it, and when your process, when it begins, when your application is submitted?
It may or may not be included.
It may not be included.
Great. Would
you include it? DOT is using old information. Just know that. It's not updated. And they're holding on to the updated information, which shows different figures.
Mm.
Okay, so get it.
Ask for it.
Thank you ever so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for this.
Thank you, everyone.
It's been incredible. Thank you so much.
Very
really helpful. Appreciated.
Thank you for your
Thank
time.
You all.
I added the info June 11th tour to the chat, FYI. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.